This is VOA News. I'm David Byrd in Washington. President Donald Trump's former campaign manager, Paul Manafort, has been sentenced to 47 months in prison for tax and bank fraud charges. During a hearing in Virginia Thursday, the 69-year-old Manafort asked Judge T.S. Ellis for leniency. The judge said the 19 to 24-year sentence prosecutors had asked for was excessive. Manafort does have to pay a $50,000 fine and more than $24 million in restitution. A jury convicted Manafort last year on 8 felony counts for hiding income from U.S. tax authorities after he earned money working as a lobbyist in Ukraine. After Thursday's sentencing, his attorney Kevin Downing made a point of saying the charges have nothing to do with his work for Trump.
I think most importantly, what you saw today is the same thing that we had said from day one. There is absolutely no evidence that Paul Manafort was involved with any collusion with any government official from Russia.
The sentencing capped a stunning downfall for Manafort, a prominent figure in Republican Party circles for decades, who also worked as a consultant to such international figures as Angolan rebel leader Jonas Savimbi and former Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos. President Trump's former lawyer Michael Cohen is suing the president's company for failing to pay his legal bills, AP's Warren Levinson reports.
Michael Cohen says the Trump Organization promised to pay his legal bills, but it stopped after federal agents seized the papers of the former Trump fixer last spring. Cohen's lawsuit says he was paid $1.7 million to cover legal costs. But since the payments stopped around the time he raised the possibility of cooperating with prosecutors, he's run up another $1.9 million in legal bills. Cohen's scheduled to report to prison in May to start serving a 3-year sentence for tax crimes, lying to Congress, and campaign finance violations.
Warren Levinson of AP. This is VOA News. For the second time in as many months, the U.S. House of Representatives on Thursday condemned hateful speech in all forms. As AP's Mike Gracia reports, it's an attempt by Democrats to end a controversy over the remarks of one of their members that many deemed anti-Semitic.
The yeas are 407, the nays are 23.
The vote in the U.S. House of Representatives was lopsided, with members passing a resolution condemning anti-Semitism and other bigotry. The vote was a response to recent comments from freshman Representative Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, who suggested congressmen who support Israel have allegiances to both the United States and Israel. Before the vote, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said members may disagree sometimes,
but never questioning the patriotism or motivation of anyone with whom we serve.
Mike Ross, Washington.
36 countries, including all 28 EU members, called on Saudi Arabia Thursday to release 10 female activists and cooperate with a UN-led investigation into the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi at its consulate in Istanbul. Reuters correspondent Francesca Lina reports.
The detained women, some of whom campaigned for the right to drive, have allegedly been subject to electric shocks, flogging, sexual assaults, and other forms of torture. In a joint statement, the countries also called on Saudi Arabia to cooperate with a UN-led investigation into the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi at its Istanbul consulate.
Investigations into the killing must be independent and transparent. Those responsible must be held to account.
The statement was also signed by Canada and Australia and marked the first move against the kingdom at the UN Human Rights Council since it was set up in 2006. Those in the non-signing camp included the USA, Turkey, Israel and Switzerland. There was no immediate Saudi reaction.
Francesca Lina of Reuters. Hundreds of men, women and children trudged out of Baghouz, Syria Thursday, increasingly defiant that the Islamic State group's defeat was imminent. U.S.-backed Syrian Democratic Force officials expressed hope that this latest exodus, that is, of both IS followers and those kidnapped or enslaved by the terror group would be the last. Meanwhile, the commander of U.S. forces in the Middle East, General Joseph Votel, warned against any complacency in the fight against the Islamic State. Over the past 4 days, more than 8,000 people have fled Baghouz. U.S. officials, while confident that Islamic State's self-declared caliphate is in its final days, have likewise warned that many more Islamic State fighters might be lurking in tunnels beneath the village. For more on these stories, be sure to visit our website, voanews.com. I'm David Byrd, VOA News.